Welcome to Bridge Community Church. Do we understand how God's economy works? In this conclusion of his two-part message on gratitude and generosity, Pastor Todd helps us see how different the economy of the gospel is from the world. When we truly understand the generosity of God in our lives, we express our gratitude through our giving. The empty tomb stands open, come
and see. And we talked a lot about gratitude last week, and then we had this season of Thanksgiving. You know, so many studies have been done that if you're trapped in any kind of negative emotion, whether that's frustration and anger and all those types of emotions, or depression, despair, those emotions, anxiety, worry, stress, and those emotions, you know, the antidote to all those negative emotions that sometimes control us is gratitude. It's gratitude. It just pulls you right out of it. And I hope that we took some time. I'm sure we probably all did. Took some time this past week to give thanks to the Lord, to give thanks to each other, you know, and enjoy that time. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving with my mom and dad on Thursday. And then on Friday, my wife got sick. And she's been sick the last few days. So, that's always fun, too. We give thanks for that, right? We give thanks. You give thanks for the good and you give thanks for the bad, because there's something about giving thanks that changes the outcome of our lives. By the way, the same is true about complaining. It changes the outcome, just in the opposite direction, you know? It's like if you're geared towards giving thanks, so many things, you're on this upward climb, you know, going to higher ground, and God's leading you there. And if you start a spiral of complaining, it is a downward fall, and you find your life getting worse and worse. And when you complain, it's kind of cool. You'll discover when you start complaining that you have a lot more you can complain about. So if you go down that path, you'll just get more and more and more and more. And the opposite, this is awesome too, right? When you give thanks and you go on that path, you find more and more stuff you can give thanks for. And more things start happening to you. So I hope we give thanks. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we're also going to talk about generosity. And the two really go together. And when we talk today on generosity, it really comes down to a matter of trust. Do we trust the Word of God? Do we trust it? And it really is that issue for us of how much do we trust what the Bible says. Now, when I've spoken on generosity, I'm always excited to do it because of the promises that God's Word gives and because I do believe them. And so I'm always excited. And I've always been somebody, like, I grew up in a family, you know, where my grandfather actually went into debt for God's kingdom. And my father did that. And there's been times when they emptied their bank accounts, all of it, like their retirement account, their savings account, for the Lord. And I've done that as well. You know, and I've never regretted it, and they've never regretted it. It's kind of like this. Jesus was going into Jerusalem, and he wanted to ride on a donkey. He needed to, really, because there was a prophetic word that he would, and he needed to fulfill all prophecy. And so he sent his disciples to a guy, right? And he sent two of them. And he says, go down such and such a street and you'll find a donkey. In today's day and age, that'd be like a Corvette, right? Or something, you know? I mean, you find this fancy car, right? And he said, go and take it and bring it. Right? Now, how many of you would do that? But Jesus told them to do it. And he said, if the guy who owns it says, hey, what are you doing? Which he would. Just say, the master needs him. And you got to do that, you know, Star Wars thing. The master needs him. And between the words and the... he's going to be like, oh, cool. Go ahead. You can have that donkey. Right? I don't know. It's pretty out there. But that's what happened. They went, and the guy says, hey, what are you doing taking my donkey? The master needs him. Oh, okay. Go ahead and have him. That's happened. And Jesus gets on the donkey and rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now, you know, here's the thing about generosity. For all of eternity now, yeah, that guy, I don't know what happened to his donkey, but for all of eternity, he's going to be the guy who gave his donkey to Jesus, right? For all of eternity, he's got this like bragging right. There's so many people in Jesus' day and age that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. Aren't even mentioned. But he's mentioned. Yeah, you know that story? Jesus wrote, that was me. That was my donkey. I have to think there was not a single day he ever regretted giving Jesus his donkey. And now for all of eternity, he doesn't regret Jesus. And this is what I found. When I give to the Lord, I've never regretted it. Not even for a single day. Not even for a moment. Never regretted giving. And so as we talk about, I always kind of do this around Thanksgiving. We do gratitude before, generosity after, and then we roll into Christmas. And it's appropriate because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, right? When you love, you give, because generosity always follows your heart. And so we want to have this conversation, and building into it, I want to just talk about some of the reasons for generosity, and particularly local. So I want to talk about, in general, why we all should be generous, but I also want to talk local and talk about what we're doing right here in the Bristol area. And, you know, leading up into that, I love this because generosity happened. And look at this on the front page of the Bristol Press. This Turkey for All Foundation helps deliver over 100 meals. That was us on Tuesday. And so we worked really hard. We are generous with bringing in all that food. I know so many of you brought in food. This is about you. And then a lot of you helped prepare it and get it into the baskets. And because you did that, this is about you. And a lot of you gave money because you didn't want to go shopping. You just said, hey, I'll give you money and you shop for me. This is about you. A lot of you put to organization. I know Brian and Becky, you two both organized a lot. This is about you too. And a lot of you just showed up and drove. And a funny thing happened. I drove with Savannah to a house, and I was supposed to get all English-speaking houses. Right, you know. And Uli was supposed to get all Spanish-speaking houses. And a wire got crossed. I don't know. Anyway, so I get up, and they're like, hola, ¿cómo está? And I'm like, bien? Well, here you go. So, no, we were talking. She had his hurt back, and I prayed for her. And we were talking a little, but not too well. All of a sudden, out of the blue, my phone starts ringing. So I said, oh, excuse me, let me grab that. So I grab that, and it's Uli, of all the people to call me. So I'm like, hey, Uli, we got the wires crossed, and there's this woman here. God is doing something in our life, and I don't even know what he's doing because I don't speak Spanish. So I put it on speaker, or did I put it on speaker or just hand her the phone? I don't remember. Anyway, she and Uli get to talking, and all of a sudden she starts crying. It was on speaker. She starts crying, just like, Uli, what are you saying to her? You're making her cry. But it was God touching her. God just so touched her. See, yeah, yeah. It's amazing how generosity opens people's heart for God to plant seeds. And by the way, you know, we finished the series on story a couple of weeks ago. That's all stories do too. Stories opens people's hearts so you can plant seeds. Every time you tell a story, who knows what those seeds will grow into, but you're planting seeds. And this is what this did. And so I love this right here. It says this, quoting David Avazy. It says, we're people of faith, so it's to the honor and glory of God and his kingdom. See? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You know, when we first knew we were going to do a name change a few years ago, we had this form that we made up and passed out to everybody. And, you know, talk about praying about it and da-da-da-da-da and seek the Lord and then put in your recommendation. And we got over, like, 40. But it's funny that day that we had it all and we handed out to everybody, a guy walked in kind of late and he picked one up. He was tall, probably like 7 feet, really tall. I'd never seen him before in my life. And on the way out, he hands it back to me, but it's filled out. And he said, "You know, I heard about you guys and the local church kind of joining together, and it seems like you have a heart for the community. So my thought was bridge, something with bridge." So he handed me the paper. And he left out those front doors, and I've never seen him again since. And it's really weird, you know, like, I don't know, like, maybe it was an angel, I don't know. But anyway, so that name got put in the mix, and there was probably 40 names. And slowly we whittled it down to three, and that was one of the three. And then it passed like 96%, something like that, when we finally did the vote that was going to be Bridge Church. But part of what got us there, we actually had to put that whole thing on pause, the name, because we weren't at agreement. And what we felt the Lord telling us is, before we can discover our name, we have to discover our mission. And when we receive our mission, the name will make sense. So we saw for the mission. We put the whole name thing on hold for a couple months, I think, right? 2 months. And we said, what's our mission? And we met, and with our mission, again, we pulled it all apart, put it all back together. It was kind of wild that night because it was maybe 3 hours. I don't know. All of our meetings are like 3 hours. And by the time we got it back together, it was almost identical to what we had started with. But something had happened. In taking apart and putting it back together, it became ours. Like we knew it was from God. And it was this mission of that God gave us to connect with God. First and foremost, we want to connect with God. And have a powerful worship experience and prayer and just receiving the word of God and all these things, connecting with God. And then connecting with others. That we're not a church that will just support missions. We're a church that is on a mission. And it's connecting with other people and loving them. Whether they believe in God or not, that we will just love the way God loves. And connect and meet their needs. And that's why I'm excited about this and because it's just another way to connect with over 100 families. And then the third thing was connecting others with God. Like, we want to connect with others in love, and if it ends there, that's okay. But ultimately, we want to connect them to God. And so when we, a couple months ago, actually 6 weeks ago, we did this parade, right? And we decorated this huge float, and we went all around the streets just singing. Well, there's two people who are in their room, in their apartment, and through the window, they're hearing this song, "I Raise a Hallelujah," and they're kind of drawn to it. They go to their window, and they're listening and they're watching. And they see Bridge Community Church. And they thought, you know what? I need that. And they've been coming here almost every week since, because we helped connect them with God. See, now Jesus did all that work on the cross, but we just want to be a witness. We just want to be what he called us to be. So this was our mission. Now when we got our mission, connecting with God, connecting with others, connecting others with God, all of a sudden, we come back to name, and one name really pops out, right? What connects things? Well, bridges connect things. And so it really wasn't so much about two churches connecting, although we did do that, and now we've done it again. And maybe we'll keep doing it, who knows. But it was really about connecting with God, connecting with others, connecting others with God. A triangle. And then the last part of that mission was all through Jesus. Jesus is how we connect. He's our bridge. Right? Jesus is how we connect with others and how they get connected with God. It's all through Jesus. And so this is a vision. Now, I am more excited about this vision than I've ever been. You know, there's a verse that Paul stayed in a town for 2 years till everyone had heard. And some he visited in home, some he spoke in the marketplace. But he stayed there till all had heard. And I think as I've been thinking about this message, that verse kept coming back to me. I would like to set a goal that over the next couple of years, everyone in Bristol would hear about Jesus from somebody who loves them, knows them by name, cares for them, and has been praying for them. That'd be what I'd like to see happen. And I think over the next couple of years, we can get that done. I think so. As we keep connecting with God, connecting with others, and then we pray for them. And it's not that they'll all necessarily believe in Jesus, but this is something that we want them to hear about, God's love, about what Jesus did for them on the cross. And from somebody who loves them, because statistics show that the highest percentage of people who believe in Jesus will believe in Jesus because not a pastor, not an evangelist, not any of those things, but when somebody who knows them by name, who loves them and cares for them, tells them about Jesus. That's the absolute, like, it's more than all the other categories combined. And so the most effective person to tell your neighbor, your friends, your family about Jesus is you. And so we wanna do that and expand the circles of people that we know and we're praying for. And beyond that, we want them to invite them to a thriving, vibrant, you know, growing, and to help them get them rooted and grounded in the Lord. And so we want powerful worship services. And that's where we get to things like our facilities. We don't want a nice church so that we can be proud of our church. We want a nice church so that when people come, they want to stay. They feel good about it. A lot of times churches are, people who do these studies say it's like a restaurant. You know, if you have two restaurants, you know, if you're going to go to a restaurant in the middle of the summer and it's really hot, you don't enjoy it, you probably won't go back, right? If you go there and the bathrooms are dirty or looking down, you know, those first impressions matter. Now, the regulars to that restaurant, they'll keep going back. But the guests, they tend to not like it. And so these are reasons we want to improve our facilities. And we're working with our trustee board and putting together like a 5-year plan to just renovate everything. And we want to do that. And see, this drives our generosity, because as we're generous, we're able to do more. Now, I know some people think, well, maybe Valley will help us. Yeah, maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't think it matters. If we get a vision from God, then God will provide it, one way or the other. And so this is kind of the vision. We want to see a thriving, growing, beautiful facility and all of these things so that people say, I'm interested. I want to know. My neighbor renovated their house, actually around the block from me. And you know what I wanted to do? They did such a beautiful job on the outside. I wished I could have taken a tour of the inside. Have you ever seen a home like that where you're just like, I want to see what's in there? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. Now, people come to church sometimes for that reason. And you say, well, that's the wrong reason. Yeah, that's the wrong reason. But they stay for the right reason, right? If we have this, and we do. So that's the thing. Now, I want to talk about this because we know if you're going to renovate your home, if you're going to build a home, you got to think about not just what you want to do, but how you're going to fund it. And that's where generosity. Now, again, I'm excited about it because of the promises. Back to that alligator sign. I don't believe that sign, but I do believe this word. And I think you do too. So let's explore what it says. All right? So let's go to Proverbs 11, and we're going to read 24, 25, and then we're going to jump up to 28, I believe. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You know, I like this. One person gives and gains even more. To understand generosity, you have to understand how the economy in the kingdom of God works. Because if you think of the economy of God's kingdom like our earthly economy, you won't get excited about generosity. But it's a different economic rules. They have different economic rules. They just do. In the economy of heaven, for instance, when I give away joy, I actually get more joy. Yeah, it's not like I have less now. If I make you happy, I become sad. But that's true in earthly economy. If I give you $100, I have $100 less, right? Not true with the kingdom. If I give you love, I actually get more love, right? Chances are you'll love me back, but even if you don't, somebody will. If I keep giving love away, I get more love. It's like this. When I like to explain it this way. When my daughter Savannah was born, I gave her all the love I could as a father to a child, all of it. I gave it all. Like, there was nothing left in me to give because I gave her all the love I had to give. And for 3 years, she received all of my love. And then Sterling was born. And something happened. When Sterling was born, I gave him also all the love I had to give. An amazing thing. Even though I was now giving Sterling all of my love, I wasn't giving Savannah any less. My capacity to give love had just doubled. Right? And then when Morgan was born, it happened again. And when Adele was born, it happened again. And Gwinnett was born, it happened again. Every time a child was born, I gave them all of my love that a father could give to their kid. But my love for the other kids was not lessened in any way. That's the economy of heaven. What you give, you get more of. It's pretty amazing. Pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. When you give away peace, you get peace, right? When you give away love, you get loved. And the more you give, the more you receive. Yeah. And so Jesus, trying to explain this, said it like this. He said, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, in what measure you made out, it shall be measured to you again. Well, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's the economy of heaven, right? The one person gives freely, yet somehow magically gains even more, because that's what God does. Another withholds, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Let's go on to 28? Yeah, that's what I thought. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Solomon, he wrote the Proverbs, most of them. I have to think he was looking out of his castle in the fall and watching all the leaves fall. And he's the king, so he wasn't thinking what I think, like, oh boy, that's a lot of work. He's thinking, I got to get somebody to clean that up down there. But I think he got thinking about leaves. Now, you know what? The people who trust in their riches, they're like the brown leaves that fall. But the ones who are generous, the ones who are righteous, will thrive. They just stay grow. They keep growing. They're thriving. You know, I have a friend who I met, and I mentioned to you, you know, I grew up in a home. This is the thing. Let me tell you a funny story, and then I'll make my point. A pastor guy loved playing golf. Loved it. Loved it. I'm not that guy. But anyway, I don't mind playing golf. I enjoy it, but I'm not like this guy. He loved playing. And one Sunday morning, it was a beautiful day for golf. Beautiful. He thought, I just want to play golf. So he calls the church chairman. And he says, I'm feeling under the weather. Aren't we all? When you think about it, aren't we all? And then he took his apple. He was throwing it. He says, I'm throwing my food up. He says, I don't think I can make it in today. So you better find somebody else. And then he goes off on the golf. Didn't technically lie, he thinks. Well, St. Pete is looking down with God, and he's saying, what are we going to do with that guy? He's skipping out on preaching and pastoring. God says, don't worry, I got it all planned. So he hits, first hole is a par 3. And he hits it. It was a hole in one. Second one was a par 4. He hits it, amazing drive. And then his second shot goes right into the hole. And the third and the fourth, it's happening like this. And St. Pete by the ninth hole saying, God, this is like his best game ever. What are you doing? God said, don't you worry, I got it all under control. Well, the whole game goes like this. He scores a 50. A 50. He's never going to believe it. Every shot was perfect. It was like it would be a record. Impossible. Nobody does this. And then 12 noon, and he's the 18th hole, And I scored a 50. And I can't tell anyone about it. You know, here's the thing about people who put their trust in riches. So many times, God gives you what you want, and it will not make you happy. You'll get the riches you wanted. I have a friend, and his dad was that way, and I met him out in Indianapolis. And he never saw what I saw, a father and a grandfather sacrificing for the kingdom. He didn't see it. He saw his father sacrificing for his promotions. And his father was very successful and had a lot of money. And it's interesting, and this isn't the only reason, but you know, kids, as they grow up, they find out what's really important to their parents by what they save up for and are generous to. Because generosity always follows the heart. And if your heart is for your personal comfort when you get old, you save a lot of money in your 401k so you can have a lot of comfort when you get old. And when your heart is for a new house, you put a lot of money into a new house. When your heart is for a fancy car, you save up for that. When your heart is for the kingdom, and this is what I grew up experiencing. My father, my grandfather saved money for the kingdom. Saved it for the kingdom. My father bought a building. My grandfather bought a building, went into debt to do it, and gave it. That was the church I grew up in. My dad bought a building because he felt like there should be a parsonage and gave it. They went into debt for it, for the kingdom. My grandfather has three kids. Two of them are pastors. The other does all he knows how to do to serve the Lord. My father has two kids. I'm a pastor. My brother does all he can to serve. Every one of my grandfather's grandchildren loved Jesus. Every one of his great-grandchildren loved Jesus. He doesn't have any great-great-grandchildren yet that I'm aware of. But we're a tight-knit family. We're all over one's in Alabama, the other's in Alaska, and I'm here, but we all keep in touch with each other. They all love Jesus. All my cousins. They all love Jesus. And they're all serving Jesus. And I feel sorry for my friend. He's not serving Jesus. He doesn't even love Jesus. He doesn't even go to church anymore. Doesn't read his Bible anymore. Doesn't care about the kingdom at all. And again, there may be more to it. There probably is. But I have to think that when you give in such a way that it even hurts, when you're generous for God in a way that hurts, because God was generous to me and to you in a way that hurts, right? We're going to celebrate communion and talk about how it hurt. He gave his son, and Jesus died. He gave, and it hurt to give. When we give in a way that hurts, our kids and the people around us notice it, and God notices it too. And he'll make sure he pays you back. God says, I am debtor to no man. He will pay you back. And I want to just explore. We'll explore quick. Let's go on. We're going to go quick now. Yeah. So resist placing trust in financial gain. I have to always remind myself of that. So listen, I preach to myself with this. There's a tendency, I think we all have, to go back to putting trust in what we earn and what we have in the bank account. You know. And again, there's a couple times, I know my grandfather, my father, and I've done this, where we just emptied our bank account, everything. And it teaches you not to trust in it, right? And it does. And it's fun to see what God does. All right, let's go on now, because we want to talk about this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, there's a cool thought here. If you're thinking of generosity as giving, you're thinking wrong. The Bible never talks about it as giving. It talks about it as investing. Generosity is not about giving, it's about investing. If you sow a small crop, well, then you get a small harvest, right? If you sow a large field, and then you get a large harvest. Okay, let's go on. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't want you to feel compelled. And I hope when you walk away today, you're not going to feel any guilt or shame or any arm twisting. That's not our intention. But I hope you see it as an investment. And like any other kind of investment, from your heart, you want to make that investment because you believe in the return. By the way, in all of the earthly investments, they always have this little phrase, right? Past performance is not an indicator of future, whatever it says. Some of you invest more than me and you know. But you get what I'm saying, right? The investments in heaven in that way, they come with an absolute guaranteed promise. You will get your return. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously, all right? So God wants us to see it as an investment. So we're giving out of our hearts, out of a desire. And he's totally okay with you giving, wanting to gain. But the question is, what are you going to gain? And so let's keep going. Go on here to our next point. Investing versus giving can equal excitement. Now, I talked about sowing, right? It's like sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting. Well, what if you're like me, right? When I was growing up and we had a little garden, I did not get excited about planting broccoli. You get me? You understand where I'm going with this? I didn't get excited about planting broccoli. I was like, do we have to? Can't we just get rid of the broccoli? You know, I mean, this whole field here or section for broccoli, couldn't we put corn? I love corn on the cob. Couldn't we put corn? You know, you don't get excited about the harvest unless it's a harvest that your heart desires. Does that make sense? What happens? I just heard one of the seniors in our church here got a $22,000 president scholarship. And so proud of her for that. I didn't ask if I could say her name, so I won't. But yeah, that's awesome, right? Yeah, that's awesome. What if you have a desire to just be like the prodigal son, though, and party, and all that thing? Well, you can get a full scholarship, and you still won't be thankful. You still won't want it because you just want a party. One of the problems with generosity that we have is we want things that aren't a part of the kingdom. And the things that God can reward us with that are a part of the kingdom aren't always the things our heart craves after. And we need to ask God to do surgery on our heart and change the desires and the values of our heart. To want the things that are truly blessings. Because all too often, we're like that teenager who wants to party and turns our nose up at the scholarship. Because we don't want to go to school. We just want to party. And God, we need to ask him to change our values. And change the things that we think really matter. Into the things that actually do matter for eternity. And start asking yourself this question. Will this make a difference 50 years from now? Or 100 years from now? You know, and live our lives for that. Let's keep going. Keep going. We'll keep going in Corinthians. This is back to 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to bless you. He is. Abundantly. He is able. God is able. Do you believe the word of God? He is able to bless you abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, not necessarily want, but at all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Which, by the way, Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? This is supposed to happen. This isn't us glorifying ourselves. This is letting our light shine so men see our good works and glorify the Father. Now, do you want, more than anything, treasure in heaven? Do you want fruit in heaven? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust will corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust will corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Do you want the treasure in heaven that lasts for all of eternity, or the treasure on earth that will last you until you're 80, but you can't take it with you? God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Paul is saying here, look, God can do it. God can keep blessing you and keep blessing you and keep blessing you. And why wouldn't he? Would I let my kids go without food, go without clothes, go without proper medical treatment, go without hugs, comfort? Would I let that happen? Well, why would our Father in heaven do that? Of course he won't. So Jesus said back in that same passage that I just quoted of where your treasures, your heart will be. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? It's not complicated. Your God is a loving God. He loves you. He's like a father. He's going to provide for you. And we'll keep reading that. Keep going. Next one. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. This is what God promises to do. He can do it. And he will do it when we're generous. All right, let's go on. Next point here. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I love this. You will be enriched in every way. Not just financially. You'll be enriched in love, enriched in joy, enriched in freedom, enriched in peace, enriched in all the fruits of the Spirit, enriched in the things of God. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. God wants you to be generous, not with just your money, but with those things I mentioned, love, forgiveness, serving others, helping them. Generous with our friendships. Generous with our prayers for others. It says you want to be generous in every way, right? On every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There's this greater sacrifice. There's this greater thanksgiving that goes to God when we're generous with each other. 100 families gave thanks to God Thanksgiving morning because of your generosity. See, so that happens. And God is blessed when his children give him thanks. And we can help people give thanks when we give them what they need. And then they give thanks, and that blesses God. It's like this awesome thing. All right, Lisa, keep going. So, receive God's economic rewards. Remember, they're different than our economic. You know, it's a different kind of economy. But you'll be blessed in every way. Not just financially, in every way. All right, let's keep going. This service that you perform, we're still in 1 Corinthians 9, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, the service is generosity, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Notice the connection of generosity and the gospel of Jesus. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We just sang Amazing Grace. And all of the things to do with it. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God and Savior ransomed me. Right? All the amazing things of God's grace. And notice, when you're generous, there's this surpassing grace God gives to you. It's just like, boom, amazing, pouring out the gift God gives of his grace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we believe that God's power is released in us through prayer and in community. We would love to help you build a bridge to Jesus. You can call us at 860-583-8352, visit us on the web at bridgetochrist.com, or worship with us at 43 School Street in Bristol, Connecticut. Our Sunday worship starts at 10:30 a.m. Join us as we help each other build our bridge to Christ.